I finished typing at my computer the word that I'm going to share, and I've got to confess, I actually thought, I'm not sure that it's very good. And then I see the build up, the crowd in anticipation. And then I felt God just come lovingly and go, stupid boy, you've still not got it. Let me turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to read from verses 8 to 11. Because Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 11 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, I've just spent multiple hours this week preparing, thinking, sweating, typing over this word that says, his word that goes forth from his mouth will not return to him empty, but will accomplish what he desires. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's very good. Can you see the irony that's in there? Because it's not about me. In fact, I've got to tell you, there are times where I have felt as though, you know, if I was preaching, I'd be taking notes on myself. There'd be times where you're thinking, man, Gordon, you knocked it out of the park today, and it's like tumbleweed at the door. Now, I'm not looking for just, you know, people coming and saying, oh, that was great, whether it was or wasn't or anything like that. You know, it was like tumbleweed. And there are other times where I've thought, man, that was miserable. That was fairly average at the best. You know, if I was preaching in the back green, I'd be shutting the blinds and turning up the telly. And the other moments where I needed to hear that. You see, it's not about Gordon's word, it's about God's word. Amen. Yeah. It's about God's word that's going to help us. When we face challenges in our lives, when we face challenges as believers, it's to deepen and to depend on God's word and to not be dictated to by the world. It's to trust in his word. And so often the environment that we are living in, the circumstances that we are facing, and the future that is apparently being mapped out for us, perhaps even depending on where we live, what we do, all that's going on around about us, will determine the parameters of our lives, not true church. It's about his word. It's about his purposes. It's about his plans and our obedience in those moments. We've seen lots of things going on in the world, lots of things going on in our nation this week around about, you know, politics and parliament and all that kind of thing like that. And yesterday there was a national prayer gathering down in Wembley that you might have seen some of it being screened on Facebook. And Helen was actually down at it, and you're here today. And one of the things that was spoken there, go and get Helen, Helen will fill you in at you know, later on today. One of the things that was spoken out of there, we don't declare crisis, we declare Christ, who is the Word become flesh. And we need to, in these days, be making sure that we're standing in the Word of God and living under the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God, but believing the Word of God, that it is unstoppable and that he is unstoppable. You see, we often allow other factors other than the Word of God to tell us who we will be, where we will live, and what is to become of us. Isaiah writes to a generation, or to generations actually, of people who have been slaves for almost 70 years. At least probably three generations worth who have been living in exile, living in a distant land, with their routine being predetermined for them, with their expectations being capped and their hopes being limited. How's your week been as I speak those things out? How close to this ancient picture is your present day? And in the middle of these circumstances of difficulties, of circumstances probably of God, where are you? Where have you been? What is going to happen? Do you care for me, God? He receives this prophetic revelation. Right from the heart of Father God to reawaken faith, to reignite the fires of hope and to inspire fresh belief that the Lord's word truly is unstoppable, but that every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord will not return to him empty, but will accomplish that which he desires it and achieve the purpose for which it has been sent forth. The word of God for your life, the word of God for my life, the word of God for our life, the word of God for this city and for this nation, it will achieve what God has planned for it. It will accomplish. Isaiah invites his readers to encounter some unstoppable thinking, unstoppable pathways, an unstoppable vision for their life. Why and how? Through the Lord's unstoppable word. Now, these are qualities that often slaves would not experience. You know, as a slave, you're told what to do, when to do it, or else suffer the consequences. And for slaves, there is no real positive future. Actually, you become a robot with a heartbeat. And this nation that's in exile had become comfortable with Babylon's standards, with Babylon's sustenance, and with Babylon's system. They had been assimilated into that culture. Yet here is an invitation for the word of God to let it release you, to let you release you from slavery's shackles into the freedom of faith and trusting that God's in control and that God will lead you beyond the moment. That there didn't have to be that pressure to conform, that pressure to compromise, or that pressure to live in condemnation at best. And we've heard a little bit about that today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and through Scripture in our worship, that we can live free, that we can live in a freedom that comes from Jesus. In order to do that, well, we actually need to backtrack a couple of verses, because verses 6 and 7 give us a little bit of foundation. If we're going to live in the reality of this unstoppable word, if we're going to live with the freedom that God wants to truly bring in our lives, and there's some things that we can do and that we want to do in order to align ourselves with God's best for our lives. Does it not sound like a bit of common sense to align ourselves with God's best? Verse 6 and verse 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon." We need to start seeking. We need to start calling. Church, we maybe need to start forsaking, and we definitely need to start turning. The starting point is always a return to the Father before you experience his ways and his best, of coming into alignment with the heartbeat of the Father, which is good for us. The context of this chapter is all about the Father's outrageous provision. It says, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have got no money, come and buy and eat." It's an invitation to come. It's an invitation in verse 3 speaks about engaging into and entering into covenant, an eternal promise with the Lord. And at the core of it is for us to be able to partner with the ways of God. See, the reality is that often we want God to partner in our ways, when actually it's the other way about. We get to partner with his ways. He does not want to partner with you in slavery. He wants to bring you out of slavery into that place of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. He invites you to step into a freedom that's ours in Jesus Christ. His word is the Father's desire and purpose that comes from heaven into our hearts and lived out in our life. Creator God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. It's one of the core things that we've been sharing on the streets as we break into conversation. It's that God loves you and has got a plan and a purpose for your life. And it opens people to God's possibilities for their life. Now it comes into covenant and alignment with him, yes, and turning with him and praying those prayers of faith and of repentance, of salvation, but then going on from that moment of becoming a disciple and not just making a decision for Jesus. It's a declaration of devotion that determines people's destinies. It's an unstoppable word because we've been thinking about it since really February and from Psalm 138 in verse 2 in particular, because above all things, God has exalted his name and his word. So we need to learn to trust him. We need to experience some unstoppable thinking. You know, if we're being honest, that the adventure, and I've got to say sometimes the frustration of faith, is that God is in charge and that we aren't. And okay, we maybe want to know how to do it, but we don't know how to do it. And this scripture reminds us that we can't second guess God. But we're invited to a new vista. We're invited to a new view of living life through the Lord's lens of faith, where we can know about the Lord, when we can discover his nature and his character, that we can trust him when things aren't going right in the way that we thought that they should go, that we might like them to go, that we can continue to trust that God is good and that God has got a plan for our life, that he's got a pathway for us to walk through it and can be used for God and by God to change us and to change others around about him, all for his glory. When those moments are unexpected and when those moments are unwanted. You see, Father God has got a sanctified strategy for every situation that you face. A sanctified strategy, and we need to listen. We need to come in alignment with his ways. And then we need to walk in his ways and live it out. See, verse 11 says, "It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it." If that is true, then he has an unstoppable pathway for me to walk in. If he's got a purpose for my life and he's truly determined that I would see his purpose being manifest in my life, then he has got an unstoppable pathway for me to walk in. And really what he calls us to is elementary faith, as simple as the elements. Let's read in verses 10 and 11. He says, "As rain and the snow come down from heaven," I mean, it must be a Scottish summer he's talking about, "and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth." God says, this is really, really easy and this is really, really elementary. In the same way that rain and snow comes, it waters the seed that's there. The seed flourishes, the seed is harvested, the seed is baked and provides bread, and the bread is then eaten by the eater. So is my ways and my words. It is as elementary as the elements. Can we learn to trust him in that? He causes things to grow and prosper even when we're not expecting it or looking for it in our life. But 3 weeks ago, I saw what I thought was weeds growing in my gutter above the garage. So I got the ladders out and thought, oh, I better get that scraped out. And I found a little succulent plant. One of those little evergreen alpine succulent plants was growing in my gutter. Now, I didn't plant it. I didn't water it. It's not really in a great environment for it, but I tell you, it was flourishing. I've planted it in a pot in the garden. We can see what... How it continues to grow and how it continues to be. But if it's as elementary as I didn't plant it, I didn't water it, but you know what, it's growing, can we maybe begin to think about the seed of the Word of God in our lives, that maybe, you know, someone else or the Lord has planted it in our lives, he's watering it in our lives, but you know what, it is growing, even in an unnatural environment of a gutter that's above a garage door. Can we trust in the power of God and his word and in his purpose to grow his plans for our life? See, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 declares that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has in store for those who love him. And do you love him? Thank you, Anne. Possibly Arwen, we're not really sure. But what about the rest of you? Do you love him? Because the word of God tells me that if you love him, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has in store for those who love him. He's got some stuff in store for you, church. He's got some seed that he maybe wants to sow into your gutters. But he's going to water it, and he's going to cause it to flourish. unexpected environments. But it's so just as the same way that as rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. He has plans for you. He has plans for you. Do you believe it? His word is being declared over your life. His word is being spoken over your circumstance and your situation. His unstoppable word. I'm going to stop it there. We're going to stay in this scripture next week because I don't just want to rush over it, and I think that God's really, really wants to teach us something through this, and I am only halfway through what I was going to say, and rather than just rush through it and give some headings, I want us to dig a little deeper for the seed in our lives. This week, church, would you say, Lord, what is your unstoppable word for my life? How is that lived out? How is that going to be lived out in the middle of my circumstances? Whether you feel as though your life right now is the gutter, or whether you feel as though you're a robot with a heartbeat of slavery, what does that look like? Where are you going to take me from? Where are you going to take me to? Just what we're going to look at next week. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we are grateful for all you've been doing amongst us today. Lord, we've received prophetic words in this place about our hearts and about our sin, about looking in your face and seeing what you would be saying. Lord, we've heard stories of what's been happening as your word has been spoken in the streets of our city, of the openness in people's lives and of lives being transformed and revolutionized as people say yes to Jesus and no to sin. Lord, we've been hearing through your written words about your ways that are unstoppable, about how we may trust you. And Father, I pray that we would trust you even more. Lord, I pray now that there has been seed sown into people's hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged where encouragement's needed, that they'd be stirred where stirring is needed, we'd be disciplined where discipline's needed, Lord, and that we would be in the place of resting in your love and of knowing your word being made real in our lives. Father, we confess for each of us that will look different, but your word remains the same. And Lord, we just thank you for the word made flesh, King Jesus. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his heart that is our heart. And Lord, I pray that as we step into our week, Lord, that we would do so knowing that you are with us and knowing that you are for us, knowing that you've got plans for our life, and we will see them lived out day by day and moment by moment. Father, I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I invite the worship team to come back and to lead us in a closing song today. God bless you. This has been a packed morning where I think the Lord's been speaking.